If you brought a copy of God's Word, take it and turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. While you're turning, let me just say that you are a good-looking bunch of people. On this early, early service at Ridgecrest Baptist Church. And let me just tell you, so, you know, I've kind of done what you've done and tried to lose a little weight. You know, summer's coming, and so I've lost a few lbs there, and so I was able to fit into this suit. So I'd taken it to the cleaners, and when I got it this morning, I got it and hung it up in my office, and I put it on, and I was about to button my top button, and my button's gone. And so on this Easter Sunday, trying to look your best, just remember, I'm bringing the one button back, okay? All right, I'm bringing the one button back, all right? The one button. So anyway, all right, 'cause let me tell you why I said that. Because if I were you and I were sitting in the crowd, I'd be going, why does he only have one button? So I just want to let you know that, okay? Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24. God has a way of humbling us, doesn't he? Luke chapter 24. If you are a guest, we have been working our way through this series called Man of Sorrows. Man of Sorrows. We have been looking really at the suffering of Jesus, how he suffered in the garden. He suffered as they scourged him. He suffered at the crucifixion. And today I'm preaching a message on a subject that I've never really preached on. I've studied, but I've never preached about it. And what I want to talk to you about today is this right here. It's in the form of a question. What are the glorified wounds of Jesus? What do they mean to us? The glorified wounds of the Lord Jesus. Several times in Scripture it says that Jesus, when he appeared after the resurrection, he appeared to the disciples or other people, and it makes reference that he made reference to either the nail pierced wounds in his wrist or his hands, or either the gash in his side. So he made reference to those things. And so I begin to think, what do they mean to us today? What would those wounds mean to us today? And so if you'll join with me in Luke 24, please stand in honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read verses 36 through 43. Listen to what it says. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened. And supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, God, as we study what those glorified wounds mean to the church today in the 21st century, the hope that they give us, the assurance that they give us. Oh, Holy Spirit, please, please work. As I read earlier, the Spirit without the Word is weaponless, and the Word without the Spirit is powerless. So we pray for both in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So why did the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus, now think about this, if Jesus would have wanted to, he could have done away with those scars, right? I mean, he could have. Remember, there's no scars on his back that he makes mention of. There's just the gash in his side and the nail-pierced prints in his wrist and in his feet. So why didn't Jesus just cause those wounds to disappear? Well, here's what I want to do. I want to show you through Scripture what those wounds on the resurrected, glorified body of Jesus mean for you and for me in the 21st century. Number one, listen. The glorified wounds of Jesus means the suffering of Jesus has ended. Listen, guys, I'm never going to entice an amen. I want you to amen when you feel like it. But for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the suffering of Jesus. Now, I want you to listen. Those wounds mean the suffering of Jesus has ended. I feel like Ric Flair. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. They've ended, folks. The suffering has ended. And Jesus said, again, back up in verse 25, he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then listen to what Jesus says here. He says, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?" In other words, it's almost Jesus saying this. Hey, guys, it was natural. I had to suffer those things. I had to. He's making reference to his glory. He's making reference to his suffering. He seems to gather all of the suffering, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual suffering that he went through. And listen to what he does. He puts it in the past tense. Ought not Christ have suffered? In other words, I suffered during the past tense. What did he go through? You guys remember? In the garden. He was in agony, the Bible says, and because he looked and he saw something approaching. What was it that he saw approaching? Remember, it was the cup. It was the cup that he was going to drink. It was the sins of the world that he was going to drink. I read something by David Platt that says this. Listen. He says, God is creator, Satan is creature. God is sovereign, Satan is subordinate. This is not dualism, it's domination. So watch. He saw, but he drank every bit of it dry. But he saw, and it terrified him. Then we spent a whole sermon on the scourging of Jesus. And I tried to, the best I could, with the help of the Holy Spirit, show you what Jesus went through at the scourging. And then last week, we talked about the crucifixion and how cruel the crucifixion was. But now, listen. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I'm free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. The suffering of Jesus has ended. They're ended. They tell me there are about five different wounds that can be inflicted on the human body. Number one, there's a contusion. Contusion is a wound inflicted by a blunt instrument. They took their fist and they beat the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, until he was unrecognizable. But listen to me, those wounds have ended. Number two, there's wounds of penetration. These are made by a sharp pointed instrument. They took the crown of thorns and they pressed it down onto his brow and they penetrated his head. But listen, those wounds have ended. Number three, there's wounds of laceration, which are made by tearing instruments. They took that cat of nine tails and they lacerated the back of the Lord Jesus. They ripped his back to shreds. But listen, the wounds have ended. Then there's wounds of perforation made by a piercing instrument. They took the nails and they drove them in his wrist and in his feet. They pierced him. But those wounds have ended. Then there's the fifth kind was a wound of incision. It's made by a sharp-edged instrument. They took that spear and they thrust it into the side of the Lord Jesus. But listen to me, dear friends, because he's alive, the suffering and those wounds have ended. And yet, listen, yet there's a sense in which his suffering continues. Now, I'm not trying to contradict myself. I just told you that the suffering has ended, but now I'm telling you the suffering has continued. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is our merciful and high priest. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Do you remember when Paul got saved on the road to Damascus? Jesus appeared to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting," watch this, "me?" Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" The implication of that statement there is that Jesus enters into our suffering. Hey, dear friends, on this Easter Sunday, listen, I'm all fired up. The church is fired up. We're all excited. But you may be sitting there and you know what? And you put on this mask because you realize, well, I can't take my mask off when I go to church. I got to look like I got it all together. That's what a lot of people do. A lot of people will put on their mask and your kids see you at home weeping. Your kids see you at home and they see you different when you come to church. Let me just be honest with you. Listen to me, dear friends. Take the mask off and come to a church that loves you and that realizes we're all a bunch of hypocrites except for the grace of God. And I want you to know something. Jesus knows what you're going through. That hurt that you're going through, that loneliness that you feel, come to Jesus. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The glorified wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ means this. He understands everything you're going through. He knows about the heartache. He knows about all the pain you're going through. But it says the wounds on the Lord Jesus, listen to this, the wounds on the Lord Jesus are healed. Do you know what that tells me? One of these days, the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. Now, I realize that means spiritual healing. But every now and then, folks, I believe that the great physician can still heal today. I said, I don't believe in faith healers, but I do believe in faith healing by the great physician. You know what that means to me? One of these days, don't miss this church on this Easter Sunday. One of these days, He is going to ultimately heal every broken heart, every broken spirit, I'm telling you, one of these days, God will even conquer the wounding of death for His children. The death of Jesus on the cross, His burial in the tomb, and His resurrection from the dead means one of these days you're going to get your final healing and you will even conquer death and the grave. I'm telling you, it means the suffering has ended. Number two, what do those glorified wounds mean? The wounds of Jesus, they're evidence that Jesus really is alive. His wounds are evidence. You say, what do you mean by that? Verse 36, he says, now, as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Verse 25, He talked to them that they said that they were slow to believe. Why were they slow to believe? Because we're now entering into the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm. Hey guys, let's just be honest. If you're sitting in your living room one day and you're meeting with a bunch of friends and a loved one that you just laid to rest all of a sudden appears, what are you going to do? It says that they were terrified and afraid, supposing they had seen a spirit. And so that tells me, let's talk about His resurrected body. Let's talk about some aspects of His body. There's spiritual aspects to this body. Evidently, Jesus could walk through doors shut. Evidently, Jesus could just lift up. The Bible says in Acts 1 that as He was taken up by a cloud, evidently He could disappear and reappear. There's spiritual aspects to this body. You say, why would you tell us that, dear friends? Hey, can I show you something? Can I show you in Scripture how you say, oh, I just hate my body? You know, one of these days, if you're saved, you're going to have a total body makeover. You say, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Listen to Philippians 3:21. Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body. I'm telling you, listen to me. You say, oh, you don't look too hot, preacher. Wait till you see me in glory. Number two. I love Easter Sunday. Listen to this. Number two, there's spiritual aspects to this body. There's material aspects to this body. Now, Baptist, amen, when he said, you got anything to eat? I mean, Jesus said there in verse 39, He said, handle me. In other words, it means to touch and see. To touch and see. John said this in 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. You see, when Jesus said, observe me, handle me. Here's what he's saying. You can handle me. You can observe me. Remember what we're talking about. The wounds, there are evidences that he really is alive. So what Jesus is saying is this.
you can handle me with your physical senses. You can see me. You can touch me. You can smell me. He said, you can talk to me. You can hear me. What he's basically saying is this. These are evidences. These wounds are proof that I really, really am alive. The disciples became so convinced that he was alive that every one of them gave their life to spread the good news that he is alive. But there was one disciple, if you remember, who wasn't present. Listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Some of you have even sent me emails and you've asked me, Pastor, how can I help convert my friend to Christianity? How can I help convert my sister, my brother, my spouse to become a Christian? How can I do that? Are y'all listening to me? Number one, you can't save anyone no more than you can create a star. But what you can say is this, I have seen the Lord. You can testify of what he's done in your life. Listen to what, that's what the disciples are doing. They said, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, now listen to what he says. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, now watch what he says, I will not believe. Now the problem is not in his mind. The problem was in his heart and in his will. So here's what he's done. Here's what he's done. He has now set up a series of evidences that he says, Jesus must prove to me that he really is alive. I wonder this morning, all eyes right here, I wonder this morning, what evidences are you putting on the table that Jesus must prove to you that he really is alive? See, some of you are sitting there saying, unless he can fit into my philosophical view, I will not believe. Unless he can fit into my scientific view, I will not believe. Let me, folks, hear me, dear friends, hear me. When God sent Jesus to die on the cross and resurrected him from the grave, that is evidence enough that he is alive. But I want you to know something. Hear me. You can live your life above reproach, chase after the gospel, spread the gospel, be Jesus with skin on, and then when you speak, I told y'all about those three, Jehovah's Witnesses. They came to my house, and we were talking, and they were talking to me, and I was talking to them, and one of the men said, well, I see this is going nowhere. This is not working at all. And I said, I beg to differ to you. Let me tell you why I beg to differ with them. Now, what they were speaking to me were words of death. They had no power. But what I was speaking to them, because I was coming from the Word, they were words of life. This book, dear friends, if you cut it, it bleeds the blood of Jesus. Physical swords cut living men and make them dead. The spiritual sword cuts dead men and causes them to be alive. You speak the Word of life and watch what Jesus can do. Watch what Jesus can do. So he goes on to say in verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came and the doors being shut, there he goes again, walking through doors, stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, now watch this. Oh, this is what I'm praying for you today. You set up that evidence. You said, unless he does this, I'm not going to believe. I'm praying that Jesus answers. You know what? Because there's nothing he cannot do. And there's nothing you can ask Jesus to do that's too hard. So he says this, Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Do you notice what happened? Did you notice that Thomas never put his hands there? Did you notice that once Jesus just spoke to him and appeared, that was enough? Listen, there's some people that, I remember one person said this, they said, I had 1,000 questions for God until I met Jesus. Do you understand the song that we open up with, he's all I need? If you will by faith trust in the risen Son today, he will be enough. And listen, you say, well, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him all kind of things. No, you're not. Man, when you get to heaven, listen to me. When you get to heaven, you're going to say, I sat 30 years under Pastor Hosey. I sat under Pastor Chad. I listened to Dr. David Jeremiah. I listened to all these other pastors online and on the radio. And here's what you're going to say. You're going to gather all of us preachers together, and you're going to say, thank you for what you did, but you haven't done Jesus or heaven justice. I promise you, he is enough. When Thomas saw the wounds, it became to him absolute, inescapable, irrefutable evidence that Jesus was alive. Acts 1:3, he says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs. One of them was the wounds on his hands. Hey, did you know you're in the Bible? Listen to what it says in verse 29. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those. There you are. I've never seen him. I've never seen him with my eyes, physical eyes. It says, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, you love. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Dear friends, you're sitting in here this morning. Well, there's no greater day to be saved than on Easter Sunday. I'm telling you, the Spirit is convicting you. You know that you have no hope. You know that you have no direction or meaning in life. I want you to know something. You say, but I want to see Jesus. Then open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Because Jesus is alive. You say, I want to see him. Every time you see a church, you see Jesus. Every time you see a believer, you see Jesus. Open your book, Bible, you see Jesus. Dear friends, listen to me. You can't see the wind, but you can feel it. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will come upon you and can convict you to be saved. Number three, and finally, listen. What do these wounds mean? It means his suffering is ended. It means that they are evidence that he really is alive. And then it means that, listen, the Easter message, his resurrection message, is eternal. It is eternal. Listen again what it says in Luke 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands. Now listen, you know what they saw when they saw his hands? They saw the nail-pierced hands. And it says he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. Lifted up his hands. And he blessed them. I love the book of the Revelation. Somebody said one time, they asked me, they said, are you afraid to preach Revelation? I said, well, no, because I'm only in the first four chapters. And then I'm in the final two chapters. Actually, final three, count Revelation 19, because I'm coming back with him. Amen. Bible says we're coming back with him on a horse. My horse's name is Trigger. Can you get it with him? Listen to this. Listen to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Listen to what it says in verse 4. Now remember, there's a scroll there that no one has opened. There's a scroll there that no one can open. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth. No one could open it. It's the title deed to man, to the entire earth, to heaven. It's the title deed of eternity. Verse 4, so I wept much. John said, I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. But one of the elders, hey, now the elders, the 24 elders, the elders, that represents the church. The elders represents the church in Revelation. It says one of the elders. Wayne, that could be you. I know some of you are going to say, yeah, but I've listened to this preacher and he said, no, it's not him, it's not him. Hey, listen, I just take my Bible literal. It says one of, doesn't say his name, it could be you. One of the elders, listen, one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Now here's John. John is looking in heaven. And he sees a lamb standing as though it had been slain. How in the world, listen to me, dear friends, how in the world did John know that the lamb had been slain? Because he saw on it. Listen, the only man-made things in heaven are the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked, you see, when you go to a country sometimes and visit a country, you bring back certain souvenirs. The souvenir that Jesus took to heaven were the wounds on his hands and his feet and the gash in his side. So what does that mean for you and me? And listen, in Springfield, Missouri in 2015. Here we go. You ready? What does it mean? It means that Easter is a message of his eternal work. Easter is a message of his eternal work. When we get to heaven, his eternal work will be manifested in his wounds. Can you imagine what it was like when Jesus got back to heaven? Can you imagine what it was like, orchestra, what it was like on the other side of the cloud? I mean, Jesus comes into heaven and the angels stand at attention and they're all just worshiping. The Old Testament saints are worshiping. Listen, we've missed you, Jesus. Heaven hadn't been heaven without you, Jesus. It's great to have you back, Jesus. And then listen, can you imagine when they saw him, and then all of a sudden they see the wounds in his hands. I tell you, one of the most amazing verses to me, one of these days we'll go through Revelation and I'll preach it, but Revelation 8:1 says there was a silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. I believe that's the other silence in heaven, maybe, is whenever they saw the wounds in the glorified body of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that they probably looked at him and they maybe said, "What are those wounds?" In Zechariah 13:6, he says, "And one will say to him, 'What are those wounds between your arms?' And then he will answer, 'Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" In heaven, can you imagine when they saw the work that Jesus Christ had done on the cross of Calvary? Can you imagine the impact that it must have had in heaven? You see, he's in heaven right now. Listen to me. His work is continuing in heaven. I told you it's a message of his eternal work. In heaven right now, he's on his throne, sitting beside God the Father, and he's interceding for you and for me. He's praying right now that some of you in this room would give your life to Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And so Satan, can't you just imagine? Whoa, good night. Can't you just imagine? Satan runs up and he goes, "Look at Chad Grayson. He claims to be saved. Look how bad he's living his life. Look how much he's sinning. He deserves to go to hell. The wages of sin is death. He deserves to go to hell." And I just have to think that the Lord Jesus is sitting on his thrones. Oh, are y'all listening? Jesus is sitting on his thrones. He stands up and he raises his hands. He says, "You see these wounds? I bought that boy. Yes, he may stray, but I'm telling you, he's mine." Number two. Hey, the devil has to flee at the wounds of Jesus. Number two, it's a message of his eternal worth. It's a message of his eternal worth. Soldiers go into battle and they get wounded and we give them a purple heart, rightly so. They come home. I try to teach my kids, when you see a person in uniform, of any uniform, you tell them thank you. But especially our military friends and family. And they come back and they ought to. They wear them with pride. In glory, one of these days, listen, one of these days, in glory, we're going to sing about his eternal worth when we look at his wounds. Listen to what it says. You say, "What are we going to sing?" Well, my Bible tells me in Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." I'm telling you, there's some churches, they tell me they don't like singing about the blood. They don't like singing about the cross. It makes them uncomfortable. Let me tell you something. When you get into heaven, they're singing about the cross. They're singing about the wounds. They're singing about the blood. It's the theme. The eternal worth of the Lamb is the theme that we're going to sing forever and ever and ever. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I'm telling you, this Easter Sunday morning, listen to me. This Easter Sunday morning has nothing on what we're going to do in glory. Nothing what we're going to do in glory. Number three and finally, Easter is a message of his eternal wonder. Every time, listen, you say, "I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to stroll down Glory Avenue. I'm going to be high-fiving Paul. I'm going to high-five Peter. I'm going to go up to Moses and say, 'Dude, what was it like having a bush talk to you?'" You know, I mean, think about it. Jonah. What did you do 3 days in the belly of a fish? I mean, all of those things. But listen, then all of a sudden we're going to see Jesus. and we will stop what we're doing. Because we will see the scars, we will see the glorified wounds, and you will never, never, no, never, ever, ever forget why you are in heaven. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands inside, rich wounds yet visible above, and beauty glorified. One of these days, we're going to talk about this in 2 weeks, don't miss. Jesus is coming back. Listen, when he comes back, listen to what it says in Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I want you to know something this Easter Sunday morning. Listen to me. Those wounds will either be evidence for you or be evidence against you. Which ones will they be this morning? Which ones will they be this morning? Are you on the right side of Jesus? Has he changed your life? I want you to know something. Listen, you still may be sitting there thinking, but I wish I could see the tomb. Well, we're not in Jerusalem this morning. We are in Springfield at Ridgecrest Baptist Church. But I want you to use your imagination for me. I want you to think, just go back, use your imagination. Go back some 2,000 years ago. It's early Sunday morning on the third day. You're standing outside the tomb. Just watch.